Look, up on the slopes. What is that? Well, it looks like a pair of cross-country skiers going downhill. No, it must be some alpine skiers with broken bindings. Wait, on closer inspection, it's...
those telly guys.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Those Telly Guys podcast. My name is Rich, and I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Morgan Clark. How are you, good sir?
I'm good, thanks, Rich. And it's good to be here as winter comes to a close down here in the southeast of Australia. Yeah, great. Great to be here, as always.
Well, what are we, like 4 days away from September or something? So spring is well and truly on the way. It looks like the forecast is going to be hot.
Have you looked out the window? Have you peeked at the sky? Are you trying to guess the weather? Well, don't even try. There's just one man who can decide. Who else? But the weatherman.
And here's the latest weather report. Sunshine and warmer.
Yeah, well, just watching the news before, and this is the Melbourne forecast, mind you, and the you know, the commercial news station had their weather outlook as they do, and they had a little bunch of flowers above the first day of spring, just to really tell you that that was the first day of spring. And I noticed that it was jumping up to 23 on September the 1st and then 25 on September the 2nd in Melbourne. So it's going to be getting warm almost immediately, it seems.
Yeah, it's like the calendar knows it's springtime and we're just turning up the dials. It's going to be 12 degrees at Falls Creek on Thursday next week, apparently. That's the forecast. That is warm for the start of spring. The snow is going to just evade the mountain so quickly.
Dude, what's it been like up there this week? Has there been, I'm assuming there's been a bit of the good stuff falling from the clouds over the last few days. It's been pretty cold.
Yeah, it has been. It was a bit warm. We had a whole bunch of rain when lockdown 6B was enforced on regional Victorians, but we'll talk about that more in the Bogong Bulletin. But yeah, then it just kind of got cold very quickly, and they've had some fantastic snow. And also, you know, the wind chill factor was down to minus 18. So very cold, very strong southerly, just really freezing everyone's proverbial tits off. That's how cold it's been, Morgan.
Probably good snow-making conditions within the resort as well, I might add or suggest. But I suppose perhaps given the most recent lockdown in 6B, as you referred to it, in regional Victoria, they mightn't have had the staff or even the, I guess, incentive even, you know, if they don't even open up again to continue making snow while they have the chance.
Yeah, there's all sorts of rumours coming down the hill at the moment in terms of what's happening in the future. But and maybe that's a good segue straight into our news items. But before we do, I've got something to admit to you, Morgan, that happened, you know, a few weeks ago. We had a couple of weeks there where we had guests on the show, Mr. Tim McCartney Snape and Steve Leader and whatnot. It's been fantastic to have those guests on. And during that time, we obviously didn't catch up with our usual segments, but I have been able to ski and I'm one of the lucky ones before the 6B restrictions while others are in lockdown. But I had a bit of a funny moment on a chairlift, Morgan, that a bit of a Gandalf moment, if you know what I mean.
Do tell.
I'm not referring to Gandalf syndrome, which some people might use to describe severe constipation. It was nothing like that, being the, you know, you shall not pass sort of moment. But a different moment. Yeah, so the moment I'm referring to is when Gandalf is battling Balrog on the bridge, and he does say
The bridge of Khazad-dûm, of course.
Oh well,
we all know it's
been. Of course, yes. You beat me to it. I was about to just rattle that off my tongue. And after Gandalf sends that hell demon thing down into the depths of, I guess, hell, it you know, whips up its little fiery whip and grabs Gandalf on the leg and pulls him down, and he's hanging on the edge of the now broken bridge, looking up at his hobbit friends, and says, "Fly, you fools." But I was going up Towers chairlift, and I was looking over down at the Rapunzel's Run, thinking that would be a good place to ski, and just kind of daydreaming and just having a good look around. And all of a sudden, I just feel one of my ski tips getting dragged down and pulling me off the chair. And it was quite close to the floating area. And I was like, oh my God, what's going on? And I think I let out a very distressed, oh my God. And at the last second, I just looked up at my two hobbit friends, who were Lucas and Yar, and said, ski, you fools. And I just let go. And off I went, just gently down onto the offloading ramp. But it was a pretty funny and ridiculous moment, a time of perhaps confusion and daydreaming, but I wasn't really sure what happened.
Do you know what your ski tips got caught on?
No, I guess it was just a big death cookie bit of snow or something that was kind of sitting on the offloading ramp just before it, as you're coming into the lift, where you would probably lift your tips, which I thought I was doing. But the other two reckon that there was like an emergency stop and it swung the chairlift. No, I just thought I was just having a senior moment. But yeah, they're pretty adamant that the chairlift swung, and yeah, one as it kind of swung because it was violently stopped, my tip. I guess I had one hanging lower, hit the snow and got me. That was a first for me, that's for sure. But still, I still blame myself for that. Very embarrassing.
Wasn't the giant icy Falls Creek Balrog was just trying to drag you down to the depths to battle you for eternal glory, so that you could return clad in white, ready to defeat the monstrosity that is locked heel skiing.
Yeah, well, it was actually Pete the Snow Dragon dragging me down. But I did.
Pete the Snow Dragon is the Balrog.
I did feel like I came back as some sort of white wizard, though, because a week or so after, Switch was starting to feel quite good on the new sticks that I've got. And, yeah, we were skiing down backwards, down all the runs for most of the day, which is, yeah, I was pretty happy with that.
Maybe we need to do, like, a Lord of the Rings cosplay or something with Talent Mark skiing. What could the One Ring be? What is it that we need to destroy at, like, the summit of Mount Mackay or something like that?
Ooh, that's a good question. You put me on the spot there. What would we destroy? Well, it would just be like a heel piece, wouldn't it?
No, it's like, yeah, it's like the, yeah, it's like the heel piece. Because like with the heel piece, like a skier becomes presumably all powerful, because when skiers first decided that they could lock their heels down, they're like, oh shit, this makes a ski really good.
Yeah.
But then yeah. We've got to go and cast it into the flame.
Yeah, that's good. Maybe we'll go do that.
Yep, I can see a new Instagram video coming out soon.
Yes, I think that's a good. But why don't we head to some news items, Morgan? We've got some things here on the list to chat about.
Yeah, please do. Yes. Yep.
This is the Billgong Bulletin.
So obviously, yeah, lockdown 6B, the resort has closed. It was very weird, I might add. We were up there on the Saturday skiing around, and my in-laws are visiting, so we're having a good time skiing with them. And everyone knew something was going to happen because there were cases in regional Victoria. And, you know, news wasn't looking good, but, you know, we all kind of thought it would be, you know, in the evening the lockdown would come on. It was, you know, Mr. Andrews got on to his podium and said 1 o'clock that the restrictions shall be enforced. And, you know, the resort was well and truly running. So there was a bit of confusion what was going on, but everyone got the general vibe. They just had to ski as much as they could. And it was just like a scene from The Wizard of Oz when the monkeys are like flying out the window of that evil witch's castle, just trying to get another run. You know, dun, 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 dun. It was just chaos, and everyone was going for it. The lifties were kind of saying, you know, quick, get another one, because that, you know, that might have been the last day of work for them in theory. And the ski patrollers were also kind of encouraging everyone to go quickly before they shut the mountain. But, you know, it was shut in like 20 minutes from that announcement that Daniel Andrews made. And they just, yeah, slowly closed the mountain from the outside in, and that was it. It was, yeah, just so surreal. And that might be the last lift assisted day that I'll have for the season, and everyone's feeling like that. And a lot of lifties on the mountain removed, not forcibly, but encouraged to move on out of their accommodation that Vale own. So it's not looking good. There's some rumors that it might open up in September, but it would have to be at a very limited capacity, maybe just a few lifts opening. But the way we're going at the moment, I just can't see that happening, Morgs.
Yeah, I mean, it's anyone's guess, I suppose, at the moment, whether False Creek and Hotham and any of the Victorian resorts would open again. And like you say, you would think, regardless of whether they'd been told by their employer to return to whence they came or not, people like seasonal workers that work up there are probably just thinking, well, you know, and of course I don't speak for them, but I can imagine that they would be thinking that, you know, it might not be worth sticking around. It might just be worth heading back home and sitting by the fireplace for a few weeks with their lap dog, with the comforts of a larger house rather than crammed into a small apartment up on a ski resort for, I guess, a lockdown that no one actually knows when it's going to end. So, yeah, I feel sorry for them. It must be a crappy situation to be in, but yeah, I guess it's, you know, on a positive note, they have managed to get a fair few weeks of, you know, what's been a pretty reasonable season from all reports so far this year.
Yeah, I certainly can't complain about the snow conditions. It's been pretty good. And I've taken every chance I can to get out there and ski as much as I could. And if the resort closed now for good, you know, I'd be happy, especially reflecting on, dare I say, yourself, Morgs, and many other people that haven't been able to get up due to the restrictions. So I consider myself one of the lucky ones, and I will not complain if the resort closes. It'll just be backcountry laps, and hopefully we are able to go out and exercise in the backcountry without worrying about restrictions. So fingers crossed for that.
Lucky, or you could consider yourself clever for living just down the bottom of the hill.
Another news item, Morgan. Obviously, the Kangaroo Hoppet will not be running, so that has been cancelled. It was cancelled before the lockdown was announced. But very sad they're not running for the second year in a row. It was meant to be the 30th edition of this race, and it's now the Hoppet Do It Your Way, which was the same thing they did last year. So there's lots of people getting out and exercising, riding their bike. So you can do it whatever way you like. You could do it juggling if you like.
You did that last year, didn't you? Yeah.
Oh, I did juggle, yeah. Got my little bandana and my buff, and I did it my way. So anyone can do that. $10 entry. You should get on, support the Birkenbeiner Ski Club. It'll help them make this awesome event happen in the future. So, and anyone can do it in the world. So we've got lots of people checking in and showing what they're doing in all sorts of different countries. So that's good news for them going ahead in some capacity.
Yeah, well, and I don't know whether you had this down as another point to talk about, but speaking of Alpine region events and, you know, postponements or cancellations, I suppose the Australian Backcountry Festival is due to be the day after lockdown ends, I think. Is that right? Or am I getting that right at the moment?
That's right. Yeah, it's meant to be the 3rd, 4th, 5th of September, first weekend of September.
So I guess technically there's no official word yet unless I've missed something. You haven't heard anything, have you?
Look, Cam's last email that I got said, and this is before the regional Victorians were dragged into it. It said that, you know, they're looking to run the event even if Melbourne wasn't able to come. They were still looking for a lot of volunteers because obviously so many of their people that are already volunteering couldn't get up there because of such restrictions. But, yeah, this is going to throw a spanner in the works, obviously, if regional Victorians can now not go. But I think Cam, he's pretty dedicated and he's just amazing. His passion for this event is, it's really admirable. And he might do an online edition again, just like last year.
Okay.
Festival. Who knows? I'll wait and see on that one. But we've been talking about it a lot this season and it might not go ahead, but we'll see.
Yep. Yeah, hopefully we have a clearer picture of that. Well, I guess we will have a clearer picture of whether that's going to happen in the next week and a bit, I suppose, of whenever this lockdown is supposed to end. But I suppose we'll try not to speculate on that front.
We'll see. And the last news item, Morgan, is the Mountain Creek bridge works. Now, this is something we talked about earlier in the season. Yes, it's going to possibly make a longer drive for a lot of people, but that is scheduled to start on the 24th of September. So, you know, if we're free, make sure you get up there before the 24th. Get your car past that bridge and get up there and have a ski and then figure out how you're going to get home later on.
Yeah, we should just leave one car on the other side of the bridge.
That's a good idea. Yeah. They have been out there drilling core samples to see if it's going to be viable, you know, drilling into the rock and the various other minerals in the ground to see if their foundations will hold. And it looks like it will. So 24th of September.
I can't exactly remember whether we had a sort of clear picture on what the new bridge was going to look like, but what was the whole deal with the upgrade? Are they just making it wider so that it's two cars wide or
They're definitely making it wider. I don't know if, I don't think it'll be a double lane one. It could be. It might be wide enough to drive two cars on, but I doubt they will use it in that way. It's just so bigger machines and trucks can drive over it because the old bridge was probably strong enough, but you know, these days everything has to be engineered and meet a certain specification for all these big trucks carrying bulldozers and fire trucks and the Unimogs as well, those big futuristic looking fire trucks. They can't go on certain bridges. So they want everything done up. So they can drive their trucks on.
Well, I guess it should only really be an issue then for October. Because Melbourne Cup weekend should be when the gates open for the Mountain Creek track going via the, am I getting that right? The four drive track that has the many creek crossings.
Yep.
So yeah, it should only really, and I'm assuming, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I can't imagine it taking an entire year to build a bridge. I'm assuming it'll only take 6 to 8 months, you know, or less than that, but
let's hope so.
I mean, I could just be wildly wrong. Everyone's probably laughing at home, like, yeah, idiot, it's going to take 4 years.
Well, who knows? Hopefully, you know, at the moment, essential workers like myself, I'm considered essential, can still go to work. And I'm assuming, having seen that bridge builders out and having a look around, I'm assuming they can too. But, you know, if restrictions get tighter and those essential services are required to stay at home, it'll definitely take a bit longer, but we'll just see. Well, that's all the news I have, Morgan, unless you've got something else.
No, I don't have any. I don't have any news for you, Rich.
Should we go to the mailbag then? Have a look in there.
Yep. Yeah. Open up the mailbag.
You've got mail.
So it's John Smith again from Ottawa.
No, we haven't heard from John Smith from Ottawa since his great remix of Samuel's song. But I actually do have some tangible mail once again. So it's very exciting. Mr. Matthew Rutledge, all the way from Golden, Colorado, has sent us a sticker pack. Now, I've sent you a photo of these stickers, Morgs, and I'm just wondering.
Absolutely.
I'll explain to the listeners what I've got here. It's a rather eclectic mix of stickers, a couple Icon Pass stickers, one from REI, and that says pray for snow. There's one, I'm assuming this might be a resort, Snowmass, Colorado, and it's got a beautiful picture of a dog on it. He looks quite happy, his tongue's out. He must be a powder hound, I'm assuming.
Of course.
There's one called Eldora. I'm guessing that's a ski resort.
Yeah, that is somewhere down in that region. I'm actually just looking at the map of Golden, Colorado, which is on the western outskirts rather of the city of Denver, the capital city of Colorado. Golden is where the Coors Brewery is. And as I was saying to you before we started recording, I have been to Golden, Colorado. And I'm just looking, and because I recall going there to ski there, Winter Park. That's like one of the big poster ski resorts for the Icon Pass. Because when I went and skied at Winter Park, they were like, you know, buy your Icon Pass now sort of thing. So
there you go.
Yeah, the Icon Pass is, they're like, you know, it's in a similar vicinity to Vail. Like, it's not far from Vail.
Okay. So maybe he wants us to buy an Icon Pass. But Speaking of breweries, he's also given us, I guess, it's a beer token for the Coda Brewing Co. in Golden, Colorado, and it's good for a 1 5-ounce pour. So we can share a beer there, Morgan, when we go over.
Yes.
And three more. There's the Cartel Inc. I'm guessing it's a tattoo store somewhere there. And one of my favorites, this is the roasted chicken fried and fresh sides sticker, YB. I'm not sure what that stands for, but there's a funny looking chicken in the middle of the sticker. And I bet they make delicious products. Can't wait to try that.
Ooh.
But the last one, Morgan, and I'm not going to bust these out yet until I'm with you in the flesh again, but some beautiful little fake tattoos that I'm assuming came with the Icon Pass. It says, committed for life, rep your true love for adventure with these limited edition temporary tattoos. And it's got, you know, some mountains. There's a bird, a blue bird, I might add. All of them, you know, have Icon kind of scattered around the various little tattoos. So that's quite exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting. Yep, they'll go well with the tattoos, my actual tattoos that I have on my arms.
Yes. We thought maybe there's a hidden message in here. So Nicole got all Da Vinci Code on me and started busting out, you know, certain Roman numerals and things like that to try and find the message. And in Roman numerals, she somehow found the word fiery CC 202.
Fiery CC. Wait, I'm just like, is that like...
No, hang on. Fiery 202. Sorry. She's using CC and II as numbers. Yes. So she got the first letter of every sticker and yeah. Anyway, so Fiery 202. I'm not sure what that means. But
I was thinking Fiery CC's as in, you know, CC's the brand of corn chips.
Well, it could have been. She also surmised that all these stickers could possibly mean a little bit of a story. So, and they've written this down, and I'm pretty sure it could be 90% accurate. So I'll read it out to you, Morgs.
Yeah, what's the chicken got to do with it all?
Well, it says one day a chicken, dog and a bird walk into a bar in Eldora, which was owned by the cartel. The dog was praying for snow. The chicken was an icon people stopped to take photos of. Anyway, if you want us to try and figure out your coded messages through stickers, please send them to us. You can grab our address off us if you email us. We're more than happy to tell you. But thank you, Matt. These stickers will look very good on various drink bottles and things. That'll be fantastic.
Yeah, nice one. Anything else in the mailbag?
I'll just have a look here. There was something else in the mailbag, wherever I put it. Oh, yes. Yes, Alex Turner, a good friend of mine, is a backcountry split boarder. And he has messaged us saying, great work on the show. He's loving it. But I did mention this email because Morgan, he said that we need to be careful and remember that split boarders and snowboarders have feelings too.
Ah, yes. Understandably so.
We apologize sincerely to all our snowboarders and split boarder friends. We don't mean to harm. We don't want to hurt your feelings. We're sorry. We're very sorry.
Well said.
Thank you. And there's a few others, but one I might mention, one from Michael Kudihi, I believe that would be how you say his last name, C-U-D-D-I-H-Y. Kudihi? Maybe it's just Kudi. He's emailed us and he's a fan of all the Star Wars references, so thanks for that. But he's I was actually emailing back and forth to this gentleman about what the perfect setup is, and he's looking to get into it. And this will be an episode, Michael, in the next few weeks. I think we might talk about at least what we think could be the perfect setup, because it's one of those things that you just have to try and find what works for you. But yeah, maybe we'll talk about that in the future, Morgs.
For sure. Yeah. That could be a nice little episode to have towards the back end of the season. What is the dream setup?
Yeah.
The perfect setup.
Yeah, that's a whole episode there. We'll get onto that in the future. But we've also received some very nice comments from people and messages and emails. about the show, and we appreciate everyone's feedback. It's been really fun, and especially we got quite a few from the Tim McCartney Snape episode, Morgan. Everyone really enjoyed that.
I thoroughly enjoyed that. Also, it was probably one of my favorite episodes that we've done to date. Just talking with Tim and listening to him speak. I found him truly captivating to listen to, and it was a great chat. He was a great guy, and some of those stories that he told were super interesting. So thanks again, Tim, for coming onto our small podcast.
Growing ever so slowly. We don't really promote it very much, but thanks everyone. We appreciate it. But Morgan, we're going to finish the show here with a little segment, and this is going to be Telemark Memories.
Yes.
Memories of Telemark.
We're sharing these memories because we can't ski at the moment. It's not happening. So we're just going to reflect on the good times to get us through these hard times. And I shared some Telemark therapy time in the past, but I feel like we need to dig a little bit deeper here and just think about the good times because, therapy just ain't cutting it at the moment. So, Morgan, what is a good time for you to reflect on? A Telemark memory for you?
Well, some great Telemark memories. This one... just from the top of my head. This goes back to, probably when we were first really becoming friends, Rich, and I was sort of, I was a budding skier, a beginning skier, and we, I used to come and visit you in the Northeast, and we'd go for a ski, and we, of course, incepted the term, and I'm sure it's been used before I came up with it, the old Free Heel Fridays, and we went burning around that lakeside area at False Creek, and that was a great time for myself and my telemarking journey. I was burning around on these old atomic, I don't even know what they were called. It was like Kongools or something, Kangoos, these small little skis with their 22 Designs hammerhead bindings.
Oh yes,
that was back when you were on the 7TMs on the on the Carhoot Team 100s, and we were just cutting laps and listening to what was that song that I made the edit to? I
can't remember. The edit, like, yes.
Love me, say that you love me. What's who sings that song? Anyway, the song's called Love Fool, I think. But anyway, that was like a good early telemarking memory for me.
It's the cardigans, Morgan.
The cardigans, of course. Maybe we'll have to like end the show with that or something.
Well, we'll definitely need to put that edit up on if we can find it. Where would I find that? That'd have to be somewhere on the Instagram account. And it must be somewhere because I watched that not that long ago. And wow, I mean, things have changed.
And yeah, when I watch that video, I think like, wow, my skiing has improved a lot since those days.
Yeah, there was some deep lunging happening there. Yeah, things have somewhat improved since then. How good. That was a lovely Telemark memory. They were good times. Such simple times, when you could just go to the ski resort without having to think about it too much.
What about you? What's a good Telemark memory for you?
Well,
a Telemark memory. It doesn't have to be good.
Yeah, well, no, this is... this is a good one. It's actually, the last trip to Japan, and we did share a little video edit of that trip, and we laugh about that trip being kind of a nightmare trip for a Japanese season, but it was still great. We had good snow conditions and some fresh dumps, and just what I loved about it most was just having a good time with yourself and Mr. Sam Ferguson, and of course our other friends that we met along the way, and my wife. A really good time, but there was that moment where we split from the pack while a few others went to Disneyland, and we went up to Rizutsu.
Oh, yes.
And we really just embraced being a dirtbag and stuffing everything that we possessed on that trip. Three gentlemen in their ski gear into a Toyota Vitz, which is probably the size of a small ladybug, but managing to stuff everything in there and then drive around the northern island of Hokkaido, seeking snow at Rizutsu and some other places like Mount Yote. But that whole time was very funny, and, you know, just skiing with your friends and being able to do that in another country and sharing those stories.
And what was your favourite dirt bag lunch tip for skiing in Rizutsu, Ridge?
Well, we did we did sample a lot of awesome Japanese food, of course. And, you know, this tip is only, you know, to maybe save a few dollars. So I definitely encourage eating the local cuisine. You know, I love Japanese food. And, you know, we used to stuff our faces full of all sorts of things from the 7-Eleven stores. And what was the other one? Family Mart and Lawson.
Oh, Lawson's. Oh, the fried chicken.
Oh, love a good little, what do they call those little curry buns? They're amazing.
The what?
The little clouds of happiness.
Oh, the little
steamed buns.
Bean buns or something.
Oh, yeah. My God. You get pizza. You get all sorts of yummy ones. But
that's right.
We're looking to save a few dollars. In, you know, obviously, we'd eat out most nights. But we found the most random supermarket, which, yeah, I don't know how to explain it. But,
it was more like a pet store that sold a few grocery items. That's how I would describe it.
Yeah, it was.
So there was like budgerigars out the back, and they were selling ladders and snowshoes, and then just
there might have been a specialty dog food store or something. We just brought a whole bunch of dog food without really realizing it. Could have been.
Well, because I bought the peanut butter that was more like jelly.
Always a bit of a punt, but anyway, we got these hot dog looking things. They weren't quite, you know, fire truck red hot dogs, but they did resemble some sort of sausage. They might have been made of octopus or something. I'm not really sure. But we took them back to our very small kitchen in our apartment at Lake Toya, which was a pension, a beautiful, nice pension. And by kitchen, I mean kettle on top of small bar fridge. That's all you need. And, proceeded to, you know, cooking the hot dogs in the kettle.
And well, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. You do. And what a delicious and surprising treat that was.
Just going back to the hire car thing, I can still remember the look on the guy's face behind the counter when he's like, he's pointing at us and adding us all up, you know, like, and then looking at all of our bags and the ski bags in the corner, and he's just like holds his arms up in the, you know, the X sign, like, no, your stuff will not fit in this vehicle.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah, yeah, he was telling us we had to upgrade, wasn't it? But yeah. Then there was that other older gentleman who was like, no worries, I make fit.
He loved it. Yeah. He loved it.
Well, he was apparently the Tetris champion of 1975.
Of course, just, back when it was an Olympic sport. Yeah,
yeah, and yeah, he slotted everything in. And it was really magic. It was like that episode from The Simpsons when everyone gets out of the clown car. You think, how did they all get in there? But, it happened. Do you have another telemark memory, Morgan?
Well, I guess maybe just carrying on with the theme of, you know, the stereotype, I guess, of telemark skiers being dirt bags, you know, granola munching hippies and, you know, driving around in small vehicles and things like that. I guess this one is just Sam Ferguson and I in New Zealand. I've probably spoken about this, well, about several of our New Zealand adventures on the show before, but we tore around New Zealand in a little I-30 going telemark skiing at various locations around the South Island of New Zealand. And yeah, we had there was a lovely couple of days of ski touring out the back of the Remarkables ski resort, which I really loved. I really loved that in New Zealand, how you could, how it wasn't frowned upon to skin up through the resort. Like it's a thing there, and I'm not sure if you've experienced it as well, but you're literally just allowed to, if you stick to the side of the ski run, just skin up through the resort. And they obviously encouraged it because there's great side country or back country just out the back of the Remarkables there. So you get to the very top chairlift in that main sort of front valley there, and you know, you walk through the the little backcountry gates where it says, you know, this area is not patrolled, enter at your own risk or something to that effect, and go for a short boot pack up through the saddle or the col, as they like to refer them to, as I like to refer to them in New Zealand as. Mm-hmm. And then you're just in the, you know, the Remarkables back bowl, I suppose it was called. And you know, it was a great place for, you know, a bit of an overnight snow camp and some awesome skiing in the sun in the afternoon and the next morning. And yeah, that was a really, it was a really great telemarking memory of mine as well.
Lovely.
It's one of the most picturesque places that I've skied at. I think that location was really, really awesome.
One more that I might share, and this is one of the fond memories as well that I have for Telemark skiing. And it happened after, you know, becoming, I guess, proficient in the turn, and you know, at a stage now where you're trying to really tighten everything up and really getting into the technical side of things, but you know, felt pretty confident in my ability to, you know, pass on some tips and teach someone else. And I taught Nicole, my wife, how to tele ski. She was a long time alpine skier, and she saw the appeal of it and gave it a go, got some tele skis. And yeah, it was a slow learning curve, and we took our time. And she stuck at it, and we practiced a lot and a lot. And now she's just one of the most graceful looking tele skiers I know. She just looks so calm when she's skiing, and I'm just so proud every time I look up at the run and I can see her coming down. And, you know, she's always looking to improve too, always looking to get her skills to a higher level so she can ski whatever's thrown at her. And she is. And that's one of my favorite memories. And I'm constantly reminded of that every time we go skiing together. So it's a beautiful thing being able to ski with your partner and do something you love.
Absolutely. All right. Shall we wrap up the show there?
Yes. There's obviously lots of memories we could share, but, you know, maybe we'll hang on to those for some darker times. I don't know how much darker you can get, but
hopefully not too much darker.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Morgan. Thank you once again. And looking forward to the guests that we have coming on in the next few weeks. And hopefully we find the motivation to finish the season out. Like, this is another weird season. If we started the show last year knowing that we were going into a lockdown, our plans might have been somewhat different. But I'm glad we're stuck with it. It's been fun. Yeah, I guess we'll see you next week.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Those Telly Guys hope you have enjoyed this program. We'd love to hear from you. Please get in touch at thosetellyguys@gmail.com. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe for more fun episodes. Otherwise, you can find us on Instagram. Thank you.